ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः प्रज्ञानांशु प्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नो माया सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् समति विभवान् ज्योतिषा स्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगत गुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः ओमित्येतदक्षरमिदम् सर्वम् तस्योपव्याख्यानम् भूतम् भवद्भविष्यदिति सर्वमोङ्कार एव यश्चान्यत्कालातीतम् तदप्योङ्कार एव सर्वम् ह्येतद्ब्रह्म अयमात्मा ब्रह्म सोऽयमात्मा चतुष्पात् जागरितस्थानो बहिष्प्रज्ञः सप्ताङ्गः एकोनविंशतिमुखः स्थूलभुग् वैश्वानरो वैश्वानरः प्रथमः पादः अन्तःप्रज्ञः सप्ताङ्गः एकोनविंशतिमुखः प्रविविक्तभुक् तैजसो द्वितीयः पादः यत्वानन्दमयो यानन्दभुक् चेतोमुख प्राज्ञस्तृतीयः पादः एष सर्वेश्वर एष सर्वज्ञः एषोऽन्तर्याम् एष योनिः सर्वस्य प्रभुर सर्वस्य प्रभवाप्ययो हि भूतानाम् सर्वस्य प्रभवाप्ययो हि भूतानाम् सो वी हाव् टु सी दि सप्तमः सेवन्त् मन्त्र सप्तमः मन्त्रः Which mantra is not important? Every mantra is important. Every mantra presents the teaching which will help us arrive at the truth. But this is the most important mantra because this is the mantra where reality is discussed. Reality, the swarup of the reality is unfold, discussed in this mantra, Saptama mantra. So the whole, the very Upanishad, through the study of any Upanishad, what we need to arrive at finally is this truth only. So, the first, we saw the third mantra, talked about Pratamah Padaha. So, Atma Chatushpat. What important here is Atma Chatushpat. Atma is of four aspects. Means, that's how Atma is here. And Pratamah Padaha, Dvitiyapadaha, Turiyapadaha, or Chaturthapadaha. Turiyaha means Chaturthaha, fourth. So, Pratamah Padaha is Atma is always the timelessness of Atma. We should remember here. Atma is always there. Never a time Atma is not. And how Atma is there? Always there means beginninglessly Atma is, endlessly Atma is, changelessly Atma is. So that beginningless, endless, changeless Atma is there all pervasively. There's no space where Atma is not. And then, not only that, Atma is independently for its existence. So, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, timelessly, all pervasively, independently, all the adverbs, Atma is. And this Atma is always there, means how is Atma? How Atma is? Atma is always there as the experiencer. Thereby Atma alone is there as the experience. Atma alone is there as the experienced world also. Atma is not the experiencer. Atma is not the experience. Atma is not the experiencer world at all. At the same time, Atma alone is in the form of experiencer, experience and experienced world. What it means is, there cannot be experiencer without the Atma. There cannot be experience without the Atma. There cannot be experienced world also without the Atma. Therefore, it is the existence of Atma which lends existence to the experiencer status and the experience and the experienced world. Therefore, that which lends existence is the reality, the truth of the experiencer, experience and the experienced world. So, from the standpoint of the Atma, it's one. The only truth of the experiencer, experience and experienced world. The only truth, only reality. Therefore, Atma being independent of the experiencer status or experience and experienced world for its existence. As all the three are dependent on Atma for its existence, Atma alone is Satyam. And the experiencer status is mithya. Why it is mithya? The experiencer status is attributed to Atma only. From the standpoint of Atma, Atma is not the experiencer. But there cannot be experiencer without the Atma. Therefore, the experiencer qualification is mithya. Experience is mithya. Experienced world also is mithya. Mithya means as though real. It has no independent existence. Therefore, we say what? Experiencer is Atma. When we say, we are resolving the experiencer status in the Atma. Experience is Atma. When we say, experience also is resolved in the Atma. Experienced world is Atma. Means, we are resolving the matter into consciousness. This is the biggest negation. Difficult negation is what? Negating, resolving the matter, equating the matter to consciousness. Jagat, experienced world also is Atma. which means what is there is, from the standpoint of the experiencer, Atma, the consciousness, what is there is only the Atma. This Atma alone is implied by the term Brahma. So, in the very first mantra, we saw that the third mantra, Atma Chatushpad, when you say, I am Atma Brahma, and this Atma which alone is there, is always there as the nearest self. I am Atma Brahma. It is this all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence, very content of I, substance, substantive I alone is implied by the term Brahma as the truth of the entirety of the cosmos, which means there's only truth of every individual and of the entirety of the universe. There is no second parallel reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. So second thing is not there means then advitiyaha atma. Ekaha atma, advitiyaha atma. Why? Atma is secondless. Secondless. Not only secondless, advaitaha atma. Atma is non-dual. Why non-dual? We say this consciousness arrived at as the surup, truth of the experiencer alone is here, and the experienced world also, the material world also, is not, does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is not real. It is not, I'm not saying it's unreal. It is not real, I'm saying. It is not real means it is as though real, seemingly real. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. There is a, what is this then? Satyam and Mithya are two orders of the only reality. Consciousness and matter, two orders are the only reality. It's like saying fire and the burning power are the two orders of the only reality. Only was substance. That's why Advaitaha Atma. Ekaha Advitiyaha Advaitaha. So this I am Atma Brahma. I am, when you use, because Mahavakyam, I have touched it before I go to this. I am Atma Brahma. You say, this I am is a third person singular pronoun denoting something very near. This means the what is nearest to yourself is I. You are the nearest to yourself. So this indicates the nearest I. What is the content of the I? I, the first person singular pronoun. I definitely does not refer to anything known, anything experienced. I refers to the experiencer only, the knower experiencer only. Just as the word illuminator cannot refer to anything, any opaque thing illumined here. The word illuminator cannot, does not refer to any opaque thing illumined here. Even the countless, so many opaque things are here. Illuminator refers to the light only. It doesn't refer to any of the illumined things here. Similarly here, the experiencer, knower, refers to the I only. And I refers to here the illuminator only, not the illumined. And that the knower experiencer referred to, where I is absolutely formless, which we understood through the analysis of three states of experience. Experiencer cannot refer to anything experienced. It refers to, I cannot refer to anything else other than experiencer, and the experiencer is abstract reality, formless reality, subtlest reality. Because it is formless, it is subtlest. It is not easily comprehensible. Because our minds are so used to always comprehending something with some form or the other. And here, that's why the sharp intellect is required to appreciate there is reality, which is formless, abstract. And that reality does not do the act of knowing. Reality knows because of its very nature of knowing. Knowing is the nature. That is why I already said this reality is implied that any word used to reveal Atma is only a word which implies Atma in terms of its nature. Atma, Brahma, so they're all not names of Atma. Atma is not just a word directly denoting Atma. Atma or Brahma or any word we use, no word can really directly denote. Every word reveals Atma only in terms of its nature. This you understood already very clearly. So here, and this consciousness, so the knower is, experiencer is consciousness. I refers to the only the knower. The knower actually has nothing but abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, let us take this word of consciousness. Our pure knowledge, our pure consciousness, our pure awareness alone is implied by the term Atma. So, I, the knower, experiencer, am Atma. This must be the understanding. When we understand this Mahavakyam, I am Atma, Brahma. So, Aham Brahma Asmi, or I, the knower, am Atma, must be this understanding. Okay. Now, having understood this fact, repeatedly seeing this fact, I am the knower, distinct from the known, and I, the knower, am the all-pervasive, timeless consciousness. This is a fact, isn't it true? And repeatedly seeing the fact is contemplation, where consciousness is not an object of your thought. Consciousness is the very swarupa of the subject. So the meditator is non-different from the meditated. Meditated is non-different from the meditator. Okay. With understanding, let us enter into this now. Text. So this, now seventh mantra, actually reveals, discusses this swarupa of the Atma. And here, Atma is of this nature, abstractness. So, Atma, we understand, when you repeatedly see, oh, experiencer is definitely formless, abstract and subtle, attributeless. Experiencer is also attributeless. Experiencer refers to only this formless reality, attributeless reality. Formless, attributeless, subtlest. Therefore, that no word can directly denote the Atma. Even we saw earlier, word, any word which denotes any given object is an expression of the thought. Without the thought pertaining to a given object, there cannot be a word. The word has to come, already there must be a thought pertaining to the word. And if the thought has to be there, there must be manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge itself rises in the form of a thought. For the knowledge to rise, for knowledge to become manifest, there must be source of manifestation. Therefore, the source of manifestation of knowledge, source of knowledge is this abstract, formless reality, the pure knowledge. Therefore, the word which is very much dependent on the thought which comes only because of the manifestation of knowledge cannot reveal knowledge. Understand? I told you many times, I gave this example before also. I do not know whether you remember or not. What is the example? Grandson or the son, son cannot be in the wedding album of father and mother. Okay? Wedding has to happen for the son to be born. How can he be in the wedding album? Okay? The word comes much later. Word cannot reveal the Atma. Okay? One reason. Therefore, no word can directly denote the Atma. Now, Atma being the very swarupam of the knower, it is because of the presence of this consciousness, presence of this abstract reality, consciousness implied by the term Atma itself is a blessing. Presence itself is a blessing. Existence is a blessing. Because of the presence of which alone manifestation of knowledge is possible. Something called cognition, knowledge is possible. Perception is possible. All functions are possible because of very presence. Therefore, that reality, because of the presence of which alone, even the inert mind becomes conscious mind, sentient, and functional. And mind is the inexplicably subtlest material stuff is the mind. The mind itself is very, very inexplicably subtle. And the mind is capable of functioning as the mind because of the blessing of the Atma. It is exactly like in Dhritarishtaveka, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions the iron ball, if you take the iron ball, it may be heavy, but you can easily touch it. It is not hot. It is black in color. It is not hot. You can lift it. You can hold it in your hand. The same iron ball does not have heat of its own, brilliance of its own. But the iron ball, when well heated in the fire, becomes what? Blazing, hot, bright, orange iron ball. Which means you cannot separate the heat from the hot iron ball physically, but you understand the brilliance of the iron ball doesn't belong to the iron ball. Brilliance belongs to the fire. The heat of the iron ball doesn't belong to the iron ball, belongs to the fire. So heat and brilliance, the nature of the fire becomes, okay, the nature of the iron ball, which means it's not its own nature, it's a borrowed nature. is not, fire does not physically lend it, but by its mere presence, it lends the heat and brilliance to the iron ball because of its closeness, inseparable. Understand? Repeat, you heat the iron ball for a long time. The iron ball, which you could touch easily before you put in the fire, now you can't touch. It becomes fire itself, isn't it? But still, you can cognitively distinguish the hot, the heat, and the brilliance of the iron ball as properties, intrinsic properties of the fire. You can understand intellectually, you can see the fact of iron ball by itself not having brilliance and heat. But now it's hot. Similarly, he had a mind also, even though it is very subtle, mind stuff is very subtle matter, There is not no subtle matter other than the mind. Mind is subtle. And his mind also being very subtle, and it is subtle, it is not separable here. At the same time, mind being the material product, mind is a product of sattvic aspect of five elements, which you understood very clearly. The sattvic aspect of all five subtle elements alone constitute the antahkaranam, mind. Therefore, mind is very, very subtle matter, material product, but still mind does not have consciousness of its own, sentiency of its own. Mind cannot function by itself as innate material stuff. But now mind functions. It is conscious and sentient, which means the conscience, consciousness, sentiency do not belong to the mind, belongs to the reality. The nature of intrinsic nature. Just as the intrinsic inseparable properties of fire become the borrowed properties of the iron ball, here also the consciousness and sentiency, the nature sarupam of the reality, atma, becomes borrowed, means what? Becomes the nature of the mind also. So mind is conscious mind. That essential mind functions. The mind is dependent on the atma for its existence. Therefore, mind which is dependent on atma for its very existence cannot conceive atma. Understand why? Atma is said to be achintya. You will be seeing later on. It's a preparation again. Achintyaha atma. Atma cannot be conceived mentally. This is how Atma is. This is how Atma can be. We try to conceive. If I tell you I have some pain in my back, you can at least conceive. Understand? Even though you don't see through physical eyes. My headache is not perceptible through sense organs, even for me or for you, but is conceivable for anybody. But Atma is not conceivable. Achintyaha. So the awareness is never available for thought conception. Now, because of when the function of the mentation alone, only when the function, the mind becomes functional, then the sense powers also become functional. Eyes can see, ears can hear, nose can smell, tongue can taste, skin can feel the heat and cold only when the mind functions. The mind is non-functional. If the mind is non-functional, then all the thoughts remain resolved. Then the thoughts do not back up the sense powers also become non-functional. Therefore, the function of sense organs, even all 10 powers, all the 5 powers of which serve as instruments of knowledge or perception, 5 powers of organs of actions, all these 10 powers remain non-functional because they cannot be conscient, they cannot become sentient, they cannot become conscious if thoughts do not back up. Conscious thoughts do not back up. Therefore, all the 10 powers are dependent on the very function of mind to become functional, to serve as instruments of knowledge and our perception and actions. Therefore, this abstract reality, all pervasive abstract reality, implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, cannot be perceived through sense organs. In Bhagavad Gita, you repeatedly come across the word Hrishikesha, Hrishikeshaha. The Lord is said to be the Lord of senses, Hrishikeshaha, because all the senses function only because of the blessing of the Atma. Not directly, indirectly. Therefore, Atma is not available for, Atma is not available for perception, means this abstract reality cannot be perceived through sense organs like any other object. Not perceptible. So we say what? Aprameyaha. First word is achintyaha. Second word is aprameyaha. Cannot be known through sense organs. Cannot be measured through sense organs. Aprameyaha. Atma. Imperceptible. Not available for sense perception. Not available for thought conception. Now, can we do some action? We can somehow catch hold of Atma. Agrahyaha. Atma, every sense, all 5 subtle powers which serve as instruments of actions, karmendriyani, all of them become functional only when the mind becomes functional. Therefore, action is expression of the power. No physical activity can help you in catching, okay, the Atma. So Atma is not available as an object of action also. Na karmana, understand? Not through perception, not as object of thought. Then, what about the words? Can words describe Atma? Yes. Shabda pramanam. When words describe, yes, words also cannot describe. To make it brief, okay, no pramanam can reveal Atma. No means of knowledge can reveal Atma. Any means of knowledge, a pramanam, can be operated. Any pramanam serves as pramanam, any means of knowledge serves as pramanam only because the blessing of the Atma. Because any means of knowledge is also what? Dependent Atma operator. No pramanam can be functional without the blessing of the Atma. Every pramanam, to be a pramanam, to be a means of knowledge, is dependent on the Atma, for its very existence, and to serve as a means of knowledge. Because Atma is the truth of the pramata. Pramata is the knower. The knower in Sanskrit is said to be the knower obtaining in every individual is pramata. And that pramata, the knower, is Atma. See, with reference to every opaque thing, I can say there's illuminator. illuminator of the chair, illuminator of the door, illuminator of the window. Because so many opaque things are illumined. Do we say there are many illuminators? No. The illuminator is one. Illumined objects are many. Similarly here, the illumined minds are many. The illuminator obtaining in every mind is, the knower obtaining in every mind is Atma only. Therefore, the Pramata obtaining in every mind is Atma. And the Pramata must be there, what? For the Pramanam to be operated. Pramata, the knower. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. And Prameyam is object of knowledge. And Pramitihi, knowledge. Pramitihi or Prama. Prama means knowledge. We have two words here. Pramitihi or Prama means knowledge happens of a given Prameyam when a given Pramanam is operated, for which there must be Pramata. Knower, subject of knowledge, must be there. Then the instrument of knowledge can be operated. The object of knowledge can be known. Then there will be knowledge of the object. So Pramata is Atma. Pramanam is also Atma. Prameyam is also Atma. Pramitihi is also Atma. Atma is not anything. Okay. Now, what about words? So no pramanam can serve as a means of knowledge of the Atma. No pramanam can serve. No means of knowledge can serve as a means of pramanam. Now, what about the words shabda pramanam? So we have so many pramanams here. Pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, arthapatti pramanam, different means of knowledge. Shabda pramanam, anupalabdhi pramanam. We have our 5 sense organs. All these pramanams, all these different means of knowledge, perception, inference, comparison, assumption, you know, absence, all these, even words. Words are also looked upon as means of knowledge. Of course, words are means of knowledge. So all these so-called means of knowledge, no means of knowledge can serve as means of knowledge of the Atma. Because Atma is not an object of knowledge. Atma is not an object of knowledge. Of course, object of knowledge is Atma. But Atma is not an object of knowledge. Atma is not available for objectification. Because Atma is available for recognition only as the Swarupam, the truth of the subject of knowledge. Atma is not even the subject, not even the knower. But Atma is available for recognition as the truth of the knower. Therefore, Shastram tells us to distinguish the knower from the known, to arrive at the reality. Having arrived at the reality, we have to understand the reality implied by the term Atma is not the subject also. Atma is neither the subject nor the object. Very important to know. But all are Atma only. Therefore, the next question comes, Shabda Pramanam, words. So here, words should be able to describe Atma. Already we have understood, words cannot describe. And here, if you say words cannot describe, the question will arise. What about the Veda Shastram? What about the Vedanta Shastram? We say very proudly of Vedanta Shastram. otherwise said Upanishad, serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. How can Vedanta Shastram, otherwise said Upanishad, serve as a means of knowledge of the truth? Vedanta, nothing but words, Shabdaha, only words. Yes, even the words of Vedanta Shastram do not directly, cannot directly reveal the Atma. Okay, therefore, let me come to class now. You understand, any object can be defined using the words. Making the words, an object can be defined. When we need to understand a given object, a given thing, words can be used to define an object. So here, a definition is called Lakshanam. One of the meanings of the word Lakshanam is definition. So we have Vidhi Mukha Lakshanam and Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. Vidhi Mukha Lakshanam, Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. Vidhi Mukha Lakshanam means directly defining an object using the words. Suppose we need to know, I'm telling, there's a girl, there was a person here known as Shambhavi. Okay, now where is she? I can only, she's, suppose you are going to Israel, Matha Ashram, she's there. There's so many people are there, the Ganga, there's Durga, there's, so you had to locate only Shambhavi. I first give some details. She has a curly hair, she always smiles on her face. Oh, everybody smiles there, that's another problem. Okay, everybody smiles. So curly hair, she's short. I give certain details. Then use all those details, you know. Words reveal, you can locate, she must be the one. And you can see she's wearing a yellow top the day you are going. So I can give certain details. All these are words. So words describe, define a thing, an object or a person. Only if the person or the object has certain attributes. Attributes must be there. Attributeless thing cannot be defined by a word. Understand? So directly when the words describe a person or an object, okay, if the person or the object has attributes. So anything which can be defined, so the description of the attributes, then that definition becomes what? Vidhimukha Lakshanam. So Vidhimukha Lakshanam is a direct definition which defines a given object through its specific attributes. So attributes. But what about Nishedha Mukha? Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam means, Nishedha means negation. Nishedha, negation. Mukham means through the means. Means actually. So defining something through the means of negation. Definition through the means of negation. Defining something through the method of negation is said to be Nishedha Mukha. Nishedha Mukham. Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam means a definition of something through the means or the method of negation. Now, I imagine, I say, Mike. When you say Mike, meet you all understand. Suppose, imagine if you do not know the word Mike. Then you show me, you do not know what Mike is. Or suppose I tell you something, please get me something from there. Get me a book from there. There's so many books. So many books are there. Get me a book from there. Then what do? You're showing me. Do you want this? No. Put it away. Do you want this? No. I don't want that. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Which one you want? Not that one. Not that one. That is one. How do I get the book? Negation. That's not the one I want. Okay? Here, my words serve, to arrive at what I exactly want through the negation. If I tell you directly, please bring that book with the yellow cover. Direct. Not that one, not that book, not that book, not that one, not that one. You are showing one after the other. This one, yes. This is what is said to be Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. Arriving at a given thing through the method of negation. Then the definition of something through the means of the method of negation is called Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. Is it clear? Here, so Vedanta Shastram, Upanishad also does the same thing. It means Upanishad, instead of directly, because Atma is not something to be understood through directly, using this method of negation, distinguishing the Atma from everything, from what it is not, Upanishad helps us arrive at what the Atma is. In fact, Upanishad does not reveal the Atma. Upanishad just helps us understand only what Atma is not. When we understand what Atma is not, everything becomes negated as anatma, not Atma, not Atma, not Atma. Then what cannot be negated should be claimed as Atma. So Upanishad, by helping us negate what Atma is not, Upanishad helps us stumble upon the reality, the Atma. Everything becomes negated. What cannot be negated alone, left behind. Oh, nothing else is there to negate. Something is there. That which cannot be negated, abadhitam, is what? Satyam. That is the reality implied by the term Atma. So Upanishad uses this Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam. The Nishedha Mukha Lakshanam is this presented in the Upanishads. Understand? The understanding, let us enter into the class here. The seventh mantra, let us read the mantra once, but before reading, going to the mantra, we have some Bhashyam part, we have to see that. It happens to be important mantra. If this mantra becomes very clear, and the teaching is over, to be frank. So Shankar Bhagavatpada presents an introduction to this mantra. We had to do that introduction, but still let's read the mantra once and come back to the Upanishad, the Bhashyam part. Because every word here is important. Everything should become very clear. Nantav prajnam nabahish prajnam no bhayatav prajnam na prajnanaghanam na prajnam na prajnam adrishtam avyavaharyam agrahyam alakshanam achintyam avyapadesham ekatma pratyayasaram ekatma pratyayasaram ekatma pratyayasaram pratyayasaram prapanchopashamam shantam shivam advaitam chaturtham manyante sa atma sa vigyeyaha nantav prajnam na bahish prajnam no bhayatav prajnam na prajnanaghanam na prajnam na prajnam adrishtam avyavaharyam agrahyam alakshanam alakshanam achintyam avyapadesham ekatma pratyayasaram pratyayasaram prapanchopashamam shantam shivam advaitam chaturtham manyante sa atma sa vigyeyaha. Finally, saha vigyeyaha, saha atma, that is atma, and that atma should be understood. Atma should be discovered. Why? In discovering that atma, error in the perception of the self and the world will change. In changing the perception of the self and the world, my freedom is. What exactly sought after is moksha, freedom from all limitations, freedom from the unwanted grief, sorrow, the samsara. That freedom, that happiness, that peace sought after by all of us uniformly, always, is in the perspective change. Unless and until the perspective change happens, there's no way of being free. Because freedom is already there, happiness is already there, absolute peace is already there. In spite of happiness being already there, peace being already there, we are not able to enjoy what is already there. It is like having some lot of money in the bank, you are not able to withdraw. And you are wandering on the road with a pauper. Money is, you are not able to withdraw because you forgot, you know, some code numbers, bank does not allow you to take. No? It is like, what is of being rich? And you have to live a life of a pauper. So here, this, what exactly you want is already there. You're abundant, abundantly rich. Because the whole happiness is your surupam. Peace is your very nature. Already there. You have to claim, to take ownership of what is already there as your own nature, as yourself. whatever is blocking, it is this perspective error in the perception of the self and the world which prevents you from claiming, taking ownership of what you are already. And for the perspective change to happen, isn't it, that truth must be discovered. Error must be corrected, for which truth must be discovered, and that Atma should be discovered. Discovery of Atma itself is your freedom. Knowledge itself is the end. Means itself is the end here. Therefore, and what is that Atma? That Atma alone here is said to be of the fourth pada. Described as the fourth chaturtaha. Not the fourth. Atma is not the fourth. Atma is as though the fourth person. Atma is available for recognition as though the fourth person. As though the fourth set of experience. Atma is not the fourth. Atma is the truth of all the three states of experience. The experience obtaining in all three states of experience. Therefore, the mantra first doesn't say what? Na antapragnam. Pragna. So, pragnam, which is the word pragna, means consciousness. Pragna means awareness, consciousness, pure knowledge. Antapragnam. Na bahishpragnam. Na. So, na is what? Na is a particle denoting negation. Atma is not the consciousness associated with, Atma is not the associated with the internal experience. Na antapragnam. Na bahishpragnam. Atma is not the experiencer associated with the subtle dream world in the mind. Atma is not the experiencer associated with the external, the perceptual external world. Bahishpragyam na ubhayatah pragyam. Atma is not even the experiencer associated with a twilight zone between the dream and waking experiences. Na prajnana ghanam. Atma is not even the experiencer obtaining as the sleeper associated with the dream set of experience. Na prajnana ghanam. Because mass of consciousness, we say. Prajnana ghanam. In deep sleep state, is a mass of consciousness. Why? Just the consciousness only. We say mass because it is not scattered in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, doing. Just the consciousness alone is. In deep sleep state, there is one non-dual reality. So, Atma is not even the consciousness obtaining. Atma is not the experiencer obtaining in deep sleep state as a sleeper identified with the ignorance and bliss. Na prajnana ganam. Na prajnam. Na apragnam. Na prajnam. Not simple any awareness of anything. Na apragnam. Atma is not anything which is of the nature of inertness. Na apragnam. Then what is Atma? Atma is not the experiencer of anything obtaining in any condition. Experience of anything as with anything. But the experiencer is Atma. Atma is not the experiencer identified with, associated with any object obtaining in any state, any condition. So, Atma adrishtam, which means Atma is adrishtam. I'm going to give literal meaning once quickly, go back to the verse. Because Bhasham, the mantra, Acharya begins his questions are based on the mantra only. Adrishtam. Drishtam means seen. Adrishtam, unseen. The word, literally it means unseen, which means Atma is not available for any objectification through sense organs. Atma is imperceptible. Then avyavaharyam. Atma is not transactable. Atma is not available for any transaction. Avyavaharyam, it means agrahyam. Atma is not an object of action, not object of thought, not object of perception. Adrishtam avyavaharyam agrahyam alakshanam. Atma is not available for any, Atma is not definable. Alakshanam, here lakshanam means an attribute. An attribute which helps to describe an object is called lakshanam. This is the lakshanam of that person, means what? This is the attribute of the person, attribute of a given thing. Alakshanam, this reality implied by the term Atma is attributeless. Alakshanam means attributeless, free from attributes. Achintyam, already explained to you already. Achintyam, so not available for thought, conception. Inconceivable. Avyapadeshyam. It cannot be denoted by a given word. Vyapadeshyam means definable, describable through a given word. Avyapadeshyam. Yekatma pratyasaram. The Atma is the essence. Okay, this pratyaha means a thought also. Ekatma pratyasaram is one unbroken, undivided essence, the pool of consciousness, which is invariably present all the variable thoughts. Pratyas change, cognitions change, perceptions change. But in all the perceptions, in all cognitions, what is there continuously without being broken is this consciousness, essence of consciousness. Therefore, ekatma, only consciousness, which remains unbroken in all the broken pieces of knowledge, in variably present in all the variable cognitions. Ekatma pratyasaram. It is this abstract reality consciousness, the atma. The entire universe remains resolved. Prapancha upashamam, the only source of resolution of the entirety of the cosmos. Time disappears, the source of resolution of time, space, subtle and gross objects, the entirety of the cosmos. The whole universe remains resolved. Again, remember your deep sleeped experience. Where does the universe remain resolved? For the person who is asleep, who is there as the experiencer, not knowing one's own existence, for that person, universe remains resolved in the form of ignorance. The ignorance is not outside of the reality. Therefore, prapancha upashamam, the only source of resolution of the whole cosmos, is the pure awareness. Prapancha upashamam, shantam, is ever of the nature of peace, which means it is free from all disturbances, distractions, all activities. Shivam. Shivam means it is of the nature of auspiciousness. It is free from all blemishes, all impurities, ever of the nature of auspiciousness. Advaitam. It is one non-dual reality. And this reality alone, being free from, it is not the experiencer, waker, not the experiencer, dreamer, not the experiencer, sleeper, even though. The experiencer, waker experiencer is Atma, the dreamer experiencer is Atma, sleeper experiencer is Atma, Atma is not any of the three. So Atma is not distant. Atma is distinct. This abstract reality, Atma is distinct from the our experiencer, but not distant. Therefore, Atma is as though the being distinct from all the three, though not distant, being distinct from the experiencer, waker experiencer, dreamer experiencer, sleeper experiencer, being distinct from all the three qualifications, Atma is as though the fourth person. Atma is that which is there as though the fourth person is the reality implied by the term Atma, Saha Atma, that abstract formless reality, distinct from the experience obtained in all three states of experience, alone is Atma. It is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma. That Atma should be understood, should be known. Okay. So we'll again come back to this mantra. We'll see the meaning of the mantra later on, because it, in fact, actually started from the Bhashyam only. But I want to go back, just read the mantra once, come back to this Bhashyam. Now we are starting this, today's class. Okay. Every time I have to start, I have to say, only now I'm coming to the class. Go out somewhere, come back. Okay, so I said earlier, Upanishad here reveals the reality, how indirectly through the method of negation. How, you can see this word avyapadesham. Vyapadesham, which can be arrived at, which can be added through a word, which can be defined. Avyapadesham. Adrishtam. Drishtam can be seen. Adrishtam. Avyapade. That is actually stands for na, which denotes the negation. All the words used are here only the words of negation. Therefore, through the method of negation alone, that the dreamer, the waker dreamer, and the sleeper experiencer, attributes become negated. Okay, in order to arrive at the Atma. We see here. Therefore, Atma as it is. Page number 327. Those who are following this Papanology book. So Upanishad negates all these qualifications as waker experiencer, dreamer experiencer, sleeper experiencer, in order to arrive at the reality as it is. Arriving at the reality as it is the aim of negation. So, Shankara Bhagavad Pada here introduces this mantra. How does he introduce this mantra? Explaining the purpose of having to use only this method of negation. Purpose of using, Shankara Bhagavad Pada has to explain, because as a commentator, he has to explain why this method of negation only must be used. Why we use direct method of revealing the truth. Why can't we use, we cannot make use of Vidhimukha Lakshanam? Why should we use only, why does the Upanishad use only the Nisheda Mukha Lakshanam? Why it does not use Vidhimukha Lakshanam? He explains, because we have people to question, always people to question. Why should we not? Why do we make it very complicated? Why can't I say this is what this? We will ask. If you cannot show like that, I mean, it is not there. They can make wrong conclusions also. Therefore, first thing, Shankara Bhagavad Pada introduces this mantra itself, make it very clear that the purpose of having to use only this method of negation. Thereby, method of negation in order to bring the reality to light. Okay. Chaturtaha padaha karma praptaha vaktavyaha ityaha. See, chaturtaha padaha. I'm reading a Sanskritam. Chaturtaha padaha krama praptaha vaktavyaha. Now, the fourth pada, we have arrived at. How? After analyzing the prathama pada, as the experience are obtaining in the waking state, dvitiya pada we analyzed as experience are obtaining in the dream state, and as experience obtaining in the third deep sleep state also. So having analyzed all three states of experiencer, having analyzed the understood experiencer obtaining in all three states of experience, as the Vishvaha, Taijasaha, Prajnaha, now Chaturtaha Padaha. Prathama Pada we understood, analyzed and understood. Dvitiya Pada we analyzed and understood. Tritiya Pada we analyzed and understood. Now sequentially, we have arrived at what? The fourth Padaha. So he says, the fourth Chaturtaha Padaha Kramena Praptaha. In proper sequential order, after going to the analysis of the three padas, the fourth pada has come now. Kama praptaha. And this fourth pada has to be explained. Vaktavyaha. The fourth pada of the Atma should be explained, should be defined, should be clear. Is it? Should be explained. Should be vaktavyaha. Iti. Aha. Thus, Upanishad now said, what does Upanishad say? In order to explain the Chaturtha Pada, which has come now in proper order. So Upanishad says, Nantav Pragyam Ityadina, he mentions the mantra. Upanishad presents this mantra, stating na antah pragyam na bahish pragyam. This mantra presents what now? In order to explain the fourth pada. Okay. And now immediately he says, sarva shabda pravritti nimitta shunyatvat. Now let me make it very clear. Sarva shabda pravritti nimitta shunyatvat. Straight away he says, Shabda Pravritti Nimittani. Let me make it very clear. Atma does not have the attributes. Shunya means here absence. Atma does not have the attributes. As Atma has the status of not having certain conditions required to be revealed by words, it is not an object of knowledge. Shabda anabideyatvam. Atma has shabda anabideyatvam. Atma has the status of not being revealed by a word. Means, Atma cannot be revealed by a word. No word can reveal Atma. Shabda anabideyatvam means, Shabdaihi anabideyaha Atma. Shabdaihi anabideyaha Atma means, Atma cannot be revealed through or by the words. Why? Because, Shunyatvat. Because Atma does not have what's all the conditions required to be revealed by the words. Sarva Shabda Pravritti Nimittani means there are five factors. They are said to be which alone become the conditions required for anything to be revealed by words. What are those five factors? First we say Jatihi. Jatihi means being belonging to any species. Manushya jati, mruga jati, or animate jati, inanimate jati, vriksha jati, pakshi jati. Suppose it belongs to a given species. An object belonging to a given species. A thing, a person, an object belonging to a given species. A being belonging to a given species has jati. We see a cow. It belongs to animal jati. Among the animals also, it belongs to specifically a cow jati. A given species. Cow is different from an elephant. So elephant jati. So different species, countless number of species of living beings. So all these living beings in the world can be, all the living in the world have their own respective jati. So an object or thing having a jati can be described. Atma doesn't belong to any jati. Atma is not one of the species of beings here. Atma does not have jati. So jati is the first factor. Then gunaha. Gunaha means attributes. Specific attributes, not the, it is, we can say, gunaha. Atma has no attribute. Gunaha. Jati, gunaha, kriya. Suppose anything, any object or person associated with any given action can be described. Please ask that person to come. Which person? Don't know the name. You can say what? The one who is, you know, the one who is in blue dress description. Vishesha becomes. Or you can say what? The person who is doing the plumbing work. Who is in the kitchen cooking work. So, nakriya, an action. So, jati, gunaha, kriya. Then we have Viseshaha. Viseshaha has a special attribute also. A special attribute. So gunaha, an attribute belonging to a species. Viseshaha is specific to a given thing, given object. Suppose we can say cow, bring that cow among all this. We can say cow. But the cow has generally the general features. But one specific cow you want to bring. The cow with some brown patch. Or a white patch. Specific attribute is what? Viseshaha. The general attributes and specific attributes. Viseshaha. Jati guna kriya viseshaha. Then we say sambandaha. Sambandaha means relationship. Connection. Something can have some connection. Suppose the class is happening in the hall. That means there is class has connection with this hall. This cloth now covers this table. It's a tablecloth. Table and a tablecloth. There's a connection. The cloth is associated with this table. This relationship is there as a covering cloth. Covering cloth and a covered table. There's a relationship. Connection is there. Called sambandaha. So jati, gunaha, kriya, viseshaha, sambandaha. These are said to be shabda pravritti nimittani. Shabda pravritti nimittani means the factor which becomes instrumental for the operation of the word. are the conditions required, conditions to be fulfilled by any object in order to be revealed by a word. The five factors, Shabda Pravritti Nimittani. These five factors are instrumental in the operation of the words to denote a given object. So words can serve as means of knowledge. But here, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear, Shabda Pravritti Nimitta Shunyatvat. Due to the absence of these five conditions to be fulfilled by an object in order to be revealed by words. Atma cannot be revealed by words directly. Sarva Shabda Pravritti Nimitta Shunyatvat. Literal translation, if you want, I can say, as Atma has the status of not having the conditions for the words to operate as means of knowledge, Shabda Anabideyatvam. Atma has status of being not revealed by a word. It means Atma cannot be directly revealed by any word. Specifically, Atma has no attributes. Only object with attributes can be revealed directly, described by words. And for an object to have attributes, it must be an object of knowledge. A thing should be an object of knowledge, either perceptible or conceivable, or then it can be described. But it can have attributes. Being imperceptible, being inconceivable, being attributeless, it cannot be revealed directly at all through any words. Visesha Pratishedhenaiva. Visesha Pratishedhena Yeva. Pratishedaha Nishedaha mean the same. Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the term Pratishedaha. Pratishedaha Nishedaha mean the same. Negation. Pratishedhena Yeva. Only through the negation, only through the method of negation, Turiyam Nirdidikshati. Upanishad is desirous of revealing the Turiya Atma only through the method of negation. Already he gives why this method of negation alone should be used. Indirect method of negation alone should be used here. Direct method of revealing the Atma cannot be used because Atma does not have any attributes. Atma does not fulfill the condition required for being revealed through by the words. Okay. Visesha Pratishedhena Yeva Chaturiyam Nirdidikshati. Upanishad has the intention to reveal the Atma only through this method. Already Shankara Bhagavatpada gives the reason. Okay. Immediately, Purva Pakshi comes. This is the teaching is just started. Opens the mouth, says something, immediately does not wait to listen to the whole teaching, and the question comes. And this Shunyavadi is assumed by Shankara Bhagavatpada. One of us can be Shunyavadis. One of the Shunyas can be Shunyavadis. So, see, it's the Buddhist Shunyavadi. Okay, why Shunya means what? Absence, nothingness. non-existence. Oh, tarhi, then, tat shunyameva, that atma must be non-existent. There must be absence of the source, absence of the reality, nothingness. Nothingness or non-existence must be the atma. Tat shunyameva. So here we have to assume, why does a person arrive at the conclusion that there must be, the atma must be nothingness, shunyam. I mean, there must be non-existence, which means according to this, the Buddhist philosopher, the Shunyavadi, there is non-existence. And from non-existence, from nothingness alone, the whole world has come into existence. Okay, one thing. Asatkarya Vadaha. Not only that, because anything described alone is existent. Anything which cannot be described by words is not existent. And something which is available for perception or conception, then it must be describable. If something cannot be described by words, then that is non-existent. Which means Shunyavadi is also still searching for the Atma as an object only. As long as a person is searching for the reality as one of the objects in the world, because naturally the people are always inclined to search for anything as an object. Their mind itself is naturally extroverted. What is there? What is there? Okay? We are interested in knowing the truth, but our orientation itself is to always search for something externally as an object. So when the search is extroverted, external, there, search is directed towards the external world, then naturally you search for something as an object and you want a description. Something cannot be described, defined, the words cannot define, then that object is not existent. So what is conclusion? Shunyameva tat. Then he says that object must be non-existent. That Atma must be non-existent. Śrīmad Bhagavatapāda has to say now, na, it is not non-existent. It is not non-existent. Having said that, he explains, when the universe enjoys existence, and this universe is what? It is a superimposition. It's a superimposition upon the Atma. It's like the ocean, the form, name and function called ocean is a superimposition upon the water. When I say superimposition, what it means, when you mistake the water for the ocean, of course, water is in the form of the ocean. Water is not the ocean. Water is in the form of the ocean. Water is not the ocean. Two big difference in sentence, which means ocean is nothing but an appearance of the water. When we do not know what the water being the truth of the ocean, and when you say what is, there is only ocean, when you say, you are not seeing the water being the truth. Then what is there? Ocean is there. If you say ocean alone is there, you say that ocean is a superimposition upon the water. And the superimposition alone is meant by the word vikalpaha here. In fact, any vikalpaha is mithya. With reference to ocean, water is satyam, ocean is mithya. And the mithya version is superimposition. With reference to rope and a snake, the rope snake, rope is satyam, snake is mithya, and snake is superimposition. With reference to any ornament, the gold is satyam, the form, name and function, ornament, chain or bangle is mithya, which is superimposition, vikalpaha. Vikalpaha. The form, name and function which is dependent on its truth is mithya, because it has no independent existence. And mithya is vikalpaha, superimposition. So with reference to any product, the cause is satyam, the truth, relatively, with reference to ornaments, gold is the truth. The form, name and function called chain or bangle is mithya, which is superimposition upon the gold. And there, gold is relative cause. Relative, only with reference to ornament, gold is the cause. Only with reference to ocean, water is the cause. With reference to the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, is also what? There is satyam. There must be satyam. There must be satyam, which is the adhishtanam, which is the adharaha, which is the adhishtanam, the substratum. So, and so the standpoint of the satyam, which is we do not know. Satyam, which we do not know, which has to be understood. The truth, satyam of this entire jagat, the reality of this entire universe, which is the adhishtanam, substratum of this universe, must be understood. But we have the very universe is here. This universe is mithya, because it has no independent existence. And this universe is mistaken to be real because of the ignorance of the reality, is what? Vikalpaha. Superimposition upon the reality of the universe. And mithya vikalpasya nirnimittatva anupapattehe. He says, it is not tenable, it is not possible for a mithya superimposition to be there without its substratum. Is it clear? What first he says is, mithya vikalpasya nirnimittatva anupapattihi. It is not possible at all for any mithya superimposition to be there to enjoy existence without its substratum. How can there be ocean, the mithya superimposition, without its satyam, the water? Is it possible for as though real ocean to be there without its substratum, water? No, it is not possible. The very presence of the ocean, which is seemingly real, presupposes what? The substratum, which lends existence to this mithya, ocean. So gold, without the gold, there cannot be an ornament. Mithya superimposition, the ornament. There cannot be snake without the rope. Even for the false snake to be there, to appear as a snake, there must be the rope. If there is no rope at all, you can't say simply there is a snake. Always mithya superimposition presupposes the existence of its substratum. Is it clear? The truth. Without the rope, there cannot be a snake, even false snake. We superimpose upon the rope. We do not know the rope, but when you see the snake, experience the snake, this experience of the snake presupposes what? Substratum of it. The falsely superimposed snake presupposes its substratum, the rope. The falsely superimposed devotion. And the appearance of devotion, the mithya devotion, is superimposition. It presupposes what? Definitely. Ocean is means water is. Water must be. Substratum must be. So here he says, now we are experiencing the Jagat. You can't say universe is unreal. Is this universe unreal? When he says, according to Buddhist, they say the universe also is unreal. This universe is unreal. What is unreal? Let us remember the definition. What is real and what is unreal? Okay. Unreal is that which does not exist at all. That which does not exist at all is unreal. Is this universe unreal? No. Why it is not unreal? Because available for experience, available for enjoyment, available for transaction, interaction. So it is not unreal. But it is not absolutely real also. Why it is absolutely real? The universe does not have independent existence of its own. Just as ocean does not have independent existence of its own, form and name chain does not have independent existence of its own outside of the gold. Snake cannot exist independently by itself. False snake without the rope. So any effect has dependent existence. Therefore it is mithya. So this world also has no independent existence of its own. Therefore it is mithya. It is not real. At the same time it is not unreal also. It is neither real nor unreal. That which is neither real nor unreal alone is said to be as though real, seemingly real. Apparently real. And anything which is apparently real, seemingly real, must have its adhishtanam. Adhishtanam. So what Shankara Bhagavatpada says, mithya vikalpasya nirnimittatva anupapattehe. Anupapattehe means, see, there is impossibility of any mithya superimposition to be there without its adhishtanam. Understand? There must be adhishtanam. Now, the universe is experienced by us, enjoyed by us, interacted by us. We are living here in this world as part of the universe. This universe is not unreal. Therefore, this universe also is a mithya superimposition. Therefore, presupposes what? The satya adhishtanam, which is X. There must be satya adhishtanam. Therefore, na shunyam. Okay? The truth of the universe is not non-existent. It is not shunyam. It is not absent. It is very much there. Nahi, he gives example. Nahi, rajata, sarpa, purusha, mrugatrishna kadi vikalpaha. He gives examples, many examples. Rajata means silver. Silver is the mithya superimposition upon shuktika. Shuktika means the mother of pearl. Mother of pearl is shuktika, the shell. Rajatam, the superimposed mithya silver. Silver is, the shuktika is mistaken to be silver. The mother of pearl, the shell, is mistaken to be silver. So therefore the silver is what we experience. When you are walking, you see, I see children on the beach, you know, they go and pick here and there. Something shine, they go and take. It means the shuktika, the mother of pearl, is mistaken to be silver because it's shining. And what is silver now? Rajatam means silver. Rajatam is superimposed mithya. Okay, mithya superimposition upon the mother of shell. So the shuktika becomes the adhishtanam. for this silver. Mithya superimposition in terms of silver. Similarly, sarpaha. Now, sarpa is the mithya superimposition. And for adhishtana must be there, that is rope. That is rajjuhu. Rajjuhu is the adhishtanam for the mithya superimposition in terms of the snake. Similarly, he says, purusha. Purushaha is also superimposition upon what here? Sthanuhu, stump of a tree. Mistaken for a person. Suppose it's a big tree just standing without any head. Cognitive is there. The stump of a tree can be mistaken for a man. So here Purushaha is mithya superimposition upon what? This tree. So the tree becomes adhishtanam. So without an adhishtanam, there cannot be mithya superimposition, false superimposition. Any false superimposition presupposes its respective adhishtanam. So many examples he gives. Then mrigatrishnika. Mrigatrishnika. Then Usharaha. Usharaha means desert land or even sand, you can say. The land, desert land of sand. You say Usharaha. Mrigatrishnika. So the mirage water is definitely a false superimposition upon the Usharaha, desert land. So desert land becomes what? Adhishtanam. So in all these mithya superimpositions, there is an adhishtanam. So without an adhishtanam, there cannot be even mithya superimpositions. Mithya cannot be there at all without the satya adhishtanam. Anything mithya. You can simply say, with reference to any cause and effect, the effect is nothing but non-substantial form, name and function. The cause alone is there as the adhishtanam. Very simple example is, with any reference to any cause and effect, any effect, any reference to any product, you can say the effect, the product is nothing but non-substantial form, name and function. And the cause is the adhishtanam. Is it? So mithya, form, name and function presupposes its adhishtanam. There must be substance. Without the substance, substantive is meaningless. There cannot be substantive. Therefore, he says, he gives so many examples. Nahi, rajata, sarpa, purusha, mrigatrishnikadi, vikalpaha. All the superimpositions have shuktika, rajju, sthanu, usharadi, vyatirekena. Without these, vyatirekena, okay, without these adhishtanams, such as shuktika, rajju, sthanu, ushara, etc., avastu aspadaha shakyaha kalpaitam na shakyaha. So, avastu aspadaha means na shakyaha kalpaitum. It is not possible to project. It is not possible to project these mithya superimpositions without the substratum. Without the substratum, it's not possible to project. Kalpaitum na shakyaha. Which means the world also definitely has a substratum. Definitely has the adhishtanam, which is implied the term atma, which should be understood. Is it clear now? It is first Shankara Bhagavata's answer. Then he moves. Then this Purva Pakshi still cannot remain quiet. Now he comes. Oh, you say, he thinks now. He remembers, okay, what are those four, what are five factors, which are the conditions to be fulfilled by given object, to be described by your word. One of the five factors is sambandha, relationship. If and thing should be described, describable, then it must have at least one of the five factors, conditions to be fulfilled. At least is here, one condition is possible. What is it? Sambandha. He thinks sambandha. Because Shankar Bhagavatpada mentioned here, vastu aspadam. Get it? All these mithya projections, mithya superimpositions presuppose an existent thing as its support, adhishtanam. A non-existent thing cannot be an aspadam. Avastu means non-existent thing. Vastu means existent thing. Avastu, a non-existent thing, cannot be an aspada. Aspada means substratum, adhishtanam for an exist, for a mithya, a form, name and function. Anything existent must have an existent thing alone as its support. So here, having explained that now, so this, the word aspada he used, no? Adhishtanam. So avastu can be an aspadam. Non-existent thing cannot be an adhishtanam. Aspadam means adhishtanam, substratum. So only existent thing can be an aspadam. Vastu can be an aspadam. Avastu cannot be an aspadam. That's fine. Which means, vastu becomes what? Adhishtanam, substratum, support, adhara. Then what is supported? The mithya becomes what? Supported. So he, Sunyavadi says, between satyam and mithya, there is relationship. Satyam mithya sambandha. Satyam mithya sambandha. Who says? Sunyavadi says. Satyam mithya sambandha means what? Satyam is adhishtanam. Adhishtanam, and mithya is what? Adheya. Adhara adheya sambandha. Satyam is adhishtanam. Mithya is adhara. Satyam is adharaha. Mithya is adheya. So, there is adhara adheya sambandha between satyam, satya atma and mithya jagat. According to Shunyavadi, there is adhara adeya sambandha, supported relationship between rope and a snake, gold and ornament, or you can say gold and ornament, between even silver and shuktika, rajata and shuktika, silver and mother of pearl. According to him, there is relationship. So here also he says what now? Same thing. There is relationship between Atma and Jagat. So Adhara Adeya Sambandha is there. Because you only said, okay, you said Atma is the Adhishtanam. Jagat is the Adhishtitam. So between Jagat and the Atma, there is Adhara Adeya Sambandha. Sambandha is one of the five factors, one of the five conditions required on the part of thing to be described, describable. Therefore, as sambandha is there, at least one condition full. This Atma fulfills one condition. Atma fulfills one condition. What is the condition? It has connection, it has relationship with the Jagat. As the Adhishta, as the Adhara. Between the Jagat and the Atma, Atma and Jagat, there is Adhara Adeya Sambandha. Atma is the Adharaha. Jagat is Adeyam. Sambandha is that, therefore, what he is going to say, but he gives a different example. it must be, Atma can be directly described, explained. You need not use the method of negation. Don't think that's very easy to understand if you go to Atma. Bhashyam you come, it's all for clarity. We have to understand, no, reality cannot be explained at all indirectly. To make it make understand, he brings such a big bhashyam. Introductory bhashyam itself is big here. Evam tarhi pranadi sarva vikalpaspadatvat turiyasya shabdavachyatvam iti. Now he, Purapakshi says, Atma has Shabda Vachyatvam. Atma has the status of being describable by the words. Why? The reason, Purapakshi says, Shabda Vachyatvam Asti. Atma can be described directly through words. This Purapakshi, Sunyavadi's argument now. Why? Because Atma has the aspadatvam. He was what? Turiyasya aspadatvam asti. The Turiya Atma, the Atma, Turiya Pada Atma, Atma has the status of being the adhishtanam, being substratum. Because it has the status of being substratum, it has relationship with the jagat as the adhara. And jagat is what? Adeya. Not the jagat. He says what? Pranadi sarva vikalpaspadatvam turiyasya. Turiyam enjoys the status of being a substratum for all the, for everything. All superimpositions, sarva vikalpa, for all superimpositions, beginning from Ishvara. The word prana in the commentary means Ishvara. Even Ishvara's status is superimposed upon the Atma. Prana adi means pranaha, sorry, Ishvaraha. The word prana here means Ishvara. Ishvaraha status is superimposed. Jiva status, Ishvara status, Jagat state. Everything, every form, name and function in this universe is superimposed upon the Atma only. Even thing, so he says, just chess, evam tarhi, if that such is, that is so, what is that? If Atma has the status of being substratum of all, everything, then evam tarhi, pranadi sarva vikalpaspadatvat turiyasya. Due to this turiyam having the status of being substratum of all the superimpositions right from Ishvara, then shabdavachyatvam asti. Then Atma has the status of being describable through words. I'm literally translating, okay? That's why it sounds funny. Otherwise, it's easy. If Atma is substratum, then Atma has relationship with all the superimpositions as the substratum. Therefore, Atma can be described directly through words. Then why do you, iti, na pratishedehi pratyayatvam. Therefore, Atma need not be understood through the method of negation. Don't use method of negation. And he gives example also. What is example? Udaka adhara dehe iva gata dehe. Between the pot, the container, and the water, the contained content, there is adhara adeya sambandha. Isn't it? Pot is the container. Water is contained. Between water and the pot, the container-contained relationship is there. Pot becomes the adhara, water becomes the adheya. Supporter-support relationship. water is supported, pot is a supporter, isn't it? So between water and pot there is relationship, therefore they can be described. Similarly, Atma is like the pot, okay, and all the superimpositions are like what? The water. Because there is relationship. You only said Adhishthanam is there. Oh. Therefore, it can be explained. Is it clear now? We need not use the method of negation to reveal the Atma. We can use direct Vidhimukha Nisheda can be used. Nishedamukha Lakshanam, sorry, Vidhimukha Lakshanam can be used. Nishedamukha Lakshanam need not be used. So Pratishedehi Na Pratyayatvam. It need not be explained through the method of negation. He has to explain Na. We'll see tomorrow. No, we cannot use. Am I made it clear today? Yes. Do you think I should not read out the mantra, the Bhashyam verse simply? I can tell everything in English? Yes. Without reading out the words?
Actually, the Sanskrit is very nice and you can hear.
Yeah.
The sentences that you bring out makes good connections.
Okay. I'm asking, sometimes maybe if you think you don't want me to read, I can just tell everything in English, explain also and go. Just to save time. It's okay, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I feel it's more expressive for some Sanskrit. Because only thing, I had a problem of translating literally first. When you translate literally, you know, we have to use the nouns. So,
it's much better.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamidam.